I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. We could not announce these meetings in a circular letter. We are glad that you nevertheless have come in such a large number. Some asked whether there will be meetings at all. But as long as we are still on earth, we come together to hear the word of the Lord, and we want to redeem this time. It becomes more and more precious, more and more evil, but also more precious for the believers, for them whom God called, whom he pardoned, to whom he has revealed himself. I just came here without concept, but God has a concept. God has a plan, and I want that we are totally free, relaxed, gathered in the presence of God, and begin to believe, as the scripture has said, begin to believe that God has restored and that we have become a firm part in the kingdom of God, and that today the same promises are valid as at the beginning and will have to find their fulfillment. We believe that we still live in the days of the apostles. It's a difficult thing, but we just believe in it. We believe that God has started the New Testament and that it remains thereby until the return of Jesus Christ. Although people have changed many things, yet God did not change anything. His first decision was the last. It was correct and remains correct throughout all eternity. God never had to change a decision as he made it. And so, we want to put our trust in these days in God, and at the same time expect, while we look at his word, that his spirit begins to work in us, and that the things of which we hear, that we experience them, that it would not just be an object lesson or being enthused about what was once upon a time, but that we all could personally experience it. How many want to be spirit baptized? Biblically, I believe all of us. Who doesn't want this? Oh yes, we believe in it. We believe with all our hearts that justification, sanctification, and baptism in the Holy Spirit, only this brings the conversion of a believer to its completion. But first the conversion, and only then the life and the walk with God starts. The conversion can be an experience. The life with God is then a continuous growth in obedience, in the faith, in the following, in everything what we are commanded by the Lord and what we have to receive from him. Let us have this in focus. In the word of introduction, we read wonderful thoughts and heard them. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. If God is in our midst, then we cannot be moved. We are planted like a tree at the riverside. And over and again, it sounded through, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Another one does not exist. There is only one God. And this one God revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, as a human being. Let me read two scriptures. And then tonight, I would like to read from a sermon of Brother Branham as much as possible. And then tomorrow, continuing with the word observation. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, Matthew, chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Matthew 3, verse 10 to 12. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We know this is a portion of the sermon of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord and made straight the path for our God. Here he briefly said, introductory, that the Lord has taken all the responsibility upon himself. He has the winnowing fan in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. You don't have to take a broom to purge his floor, and I also not. He does everything himself, because you could sweep up wheat and chaff together very quickly. He knows exactly how to distinguish. It says here, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Not someone else, no apostle, no prophet. He himself has taken this responsibility, and we want to leave it to him until the end, and gather his wheat, not only wheat, his wheat. We come after his kind. He, as the corn of wheat, was laid into the ground. He died, he rose, and therefore he didn't remain alone. He bore much fruit, and we may be this fruit. His wheat, not a wheat, his wheat, he will gather into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The well-known scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 2, here I just would like to read the first four verses. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now just briefly, I feel it now. I have never seen it before like this. Before we pray for the Spirit baptism and would like to experience it, we must be ready to place our tongue into the ministry of God. Here it is not only about an anointing, not just about signs and wonders or gifts of the Spirit. Here it is about that our tongue is penetrated by the divine fire and is then put into the service of God to be able to proclaim the great deeds of God. He who would like to continue to use his old tongue, at the most he will use it later on even better. This we all have found out. Spirit-anointed people who are not renewed, who did not experience a new birth, but who have experienced the anointing, they can cause double and threefold damage. A person who would like to be baptized in the Spirit must first be ready to make his tongue available for the Lord. And then we see it here. Not cloven eyes like as of fire appeared unto them, or cloven ears like as of fire, or hands or feet, but cloven tongues like as of fire. James writes, the tongue is the evil of the body, and no man can tame it. The wild beasts we can still tame, but not our own tongue. That's how it is written in James. So, here cloven tongues like as of fire appeared unto them, and it set upon each of them. Are we all ready? Our life, our words, our conversations, our testimony, whatever we can do here on earth for the glory of God, are we ready for such a life with God? Are we ready to stop everything what causes damage, to experience the build-up of the church? Then the Spirit baptism will be a great blessing for us, and not only to us, but also to all them who get told from us the great deeds of God. It says here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This we wish us all with all our heart, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Paul writes to the Corinthians that we should compare spiritual things with spiritual. And we know that all those who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they proclaimed the great deeds of God. Read the prophecy or the praise and worship of Mary or of Zacharias, and you will find out that it was so. Also Simon and Hannah, all who were filled with the Holy Ghost, they didn't speak around God and about that what he did. They have that what happened at their time in the plan of salvation. They've put it upon the lampstand by revelation and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is the same in our days. The Spirit of God will put that upon the lampstand what matters now. In particular, the word of prophecy, the promises for our time. From the sermon, the token, most certainly known to all of us, I would like to read some things here. I hope that nobody is offended at it. Should there be some amongst us who don't know from which sermon I read? It's a sermon which Brother Branham preached. When was it? In the year 63, I assume. And God used him in a special way. And we believe that he was a man sent from God. We believe that to him the message of God to the people of God was entrusted, and that apart from this message, no second one can and will come. Also, no other messenger, no other prophet, but according to the counsel of God, it is written that there were seven churches and seven angels, and we live in the seventh church age, and after this nothing comes anymore. Now comes the completion. Also for this, we are grateful to God. Also this may be mentioned here, before I read. We at least had the grace that we kept the divine message in such a way, and we left it in this way, as it was delivered unto us. We didn't make another message out of it. We did not twist anything, but we believed what was left unto us. Here Brother Brim says, we are here to hear the word coming to us. We want that, because that's the only thing that's going to mean anything to us. Anything that's going to be substantial, anything that's going to help us. God sends His Word to help us, to make us well, to correct us, to give us instruction, revelation, and teaching by His grace. The term, the token, you have heard. God, from the very beginning, He spoke of it. To Noah He said, this shall be the token. There He spoke of the rainbow. To Moses He said, two signs will be given to you. And then of the blood that was applied to the doorposts. This shall be the token. Over and again, it speaks of it. Until God said then in the prophet Isaiah, ask a sign, be it from heaven above or on the earth beneath. And then He says, I give you a sign. And suddenly it came, a sign that will be spoken against. Just briefly mentioned so that we see what is being meant by it. Here it says, referred to the scripture from Moses, Exodus 12:13, the blood shall be to you for a token. Now, firstly, what is a token? A token is a proof, for instance, that a price for a ticket was paid. The ticket is the evidence that the price was paid for the fare. You all know Brother Branham had a very special gift by practical, issue-related, natural examples to reveal great things and to set it forth. Here he continues and says, God, who is rich in mercy, has provided a substitutional sacrifice. He made a substitute, and that was something had to die in its place. Nothing else could work. We must realize redemption on its ground. Redemption doesn't mean to come to God and to say, I've done nothing wrong. Redemption means to see himself lost, to come to God for help and salvation out of a deep desperation, not only with the lips, but with the heart. According to the scripture, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me. The conversions of the 20th century, they are conversions without birth pains and without agony of soul. But God can still bring us into it. God will, if need be, He will have to bring us into it. I read on. It was not only about offering a sacrifice, but the believing worshipper was identified with a sacrifice. The one who sacrificed identified himself with a sacrifice. He knew This animal that could still live must now die only because I became guilty. Here, the perfect equalization and identification of the worshipper with the sacrifice. Oh, if it only could be revealed to us today by the Spirit, and that we walk together with the sacrificial lamb this last day in the Spirit upon the hill of Golgotha, and by this identifying ourselves with him, as we would be Simon of Cyrene, who then finally helped to carry the cross, that we in this way could walk with him to this site, to then be crucified with him, or to have been crucified. Here it continues, can you now see the predestination? He was born as a lamb. He was raised up as a lamb. He died as a lamb. He was the lamb. And therefore, that's the only kind of a true spirit that can receive the word, that can receive Christ. The rest of them will try to get it. But how can you put the Spirit of God upon a wolf? Here we must stop for a moment. Here it is about the term kind of a true spirit. The same kind. God lets everything come forth after its own kind. We know that from the creation report. Why did the Lord Jesus say to Peter three times in a row, feed my sheep, feed my lambs? Why did he say, I, as the good shepherd, give my life for the sheep? My sheep hear my voice. With him, identified with him, he the Lamb of God, we born of him, having in us the Lamb's nature, the same kind of spirit, by the same divine life that was in him. Only by this the connection is guaranteed. Everything else is an attempt that is doomed to fail from the start. We don't try to agree with God, but we let ourselves be brought into conformity with his word by God. And we don't resist. I have sheep here for quite some time. Certainly, they also sometimes have their own will. But what shall I tell you? Not a single time I have seen their hair standing on end. As a wolf can do that so nicely. How many of you have seen a wolf? This goes quickly, very quickly. One sees straight away how the hair stand on end. And then it's high time. With a sheep, I have never seen it. Although the bucks, they sometimes butt a bit. But nobody should be angry with them. It is just given to them. Let us read on. I wonder today, when God leads us to a life of complete surrender and service to him, I wonder if our spirits then sometime don't rebel. Certainly we all want that God manifests himself, but we want to have our way with it. We want the things go this way, that we not somehow... And thus it won't work. There will have to be sacrifices before this complete conformity and surrender can take place before God. And I don't exclude myself here. We are all meant. And finally, we will have to lay our bodies as a living sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, upon the altar, and say with our heart, not with the lips, but with our heart, here I am, do with me what you like. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we reached the stand, if we mean with our heart what we spoke out with our mouth. Then the church will no longer have any limits when it comes to authority and service. I think that we all are 100% convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I look here now on our beloved brother from Kitze. He told me of some suffering, and I spoke in unbelief, and I said, we all get old. And I said, Jacob got even blind, and he said, for this we didn't come. We have come to be healed by God. And I received already my first lesson. This was last night. And that's how it is with all of us. We, as human beings, we want to say, yes, this and this. But God wants, God requires from us that we stand on the faith foundation and that we trust God. And what then comes, comes. His will be done. And no one will hold him accountable for it. Here it says, a lamb is obedient. A lamb is self-sacrificial. It doesn't even claim its own. You can lay it right down and share the wool off of it. It never says anything about it. It sacrifices everything it's got. That's a lamb. It gives everything away, itself and all it is. And that's the way a real Christian is. I only read. I didn't say anything. And already we may ask ourselves, are we so devoted to the Lord? Really? With all our heart, with all what we are and have. We read here, a lamb gives everything it has, even the wool. I witnessed it many times. The mouth is not opened. The shearer shears, and the sheep gives everything it has. Here it is spoken of us, the believers. We many times sing, my will belongs to my God. I live for Jesus alone. How is it in the deed? May God give it to us, me and all of us, that it would become true. It continues here. Then the lamb, the blood, and the person becomes identified together, the sacrifice and the believer. Here we have now the bridge, the unity, the Lamb of God, the blood that was shed for us, and all who were purchased by the blood. A divine union took place. God was in Christ and reconciled us with himself to take dwelling in us. So if our will is laid into the will of God, if the Lamb of God, the blood that was shed, and the person who confesses to it, if they become one, then God manifests himself through these believers who thus have become one with the sacrifice. Also this we said already before, that we have to prepare for it, to become a perfect sacrifice on the altar of God. Isaac, when I remember well, was even bound and was sacrificed on the altar, being aware, thus it remains. And only then God intervened from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, now I see that you are fully obedient. God tried him until the end. Blessed is he who in his trial that God gives him goes right to the end until God answers. That he doesn't stop earlier. That he doesn't get out and says, one moment, it doesn't go any further here. There was even thicket. I'm glad that it's written in the Bible. Abraham turned around and saw then a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. We may sometimes have to go through a thicket, through the wilderness, And suddenly, when we think it doesn't go any further, the Lord opens our eyes and we see the sacrificial lamb on the cross of Calvary. And we get new courage and see he died in my stead so that I may live for him. This is the grace that God has given us. It continues. You are identified in your life by your sacrifice. That makes you what you are. By this, the blood was a token or a identification. The blood identified that the worshipper had slain the lamb and that he was accepted. It was the token that was applied. What a wonderful statement. I don't know whether we can follow, whether we are in the matter. For me, this is very important. And I believe for all of us. It's do or die now. We are approaching the end with rapid strides. We see it by everything what is happening around us. We don't know how long it will still take. But one thing we know, that the time, most certainly, is coming to its end. And that we can count with the return of the Lord. And not only can count, but must count. And therefore, all these serious statements which we find here, would we be ready already tonight to be available for the Lord as a full sacrifice? But he knows our hearts. He tries our reins. He knows whether we leave a back door open through which we can again escape. He wants, as Brother Branham says in the sermon, doors in doors. He wants that we open everything, not only the main door, but also all the other inner doors. Most open the front door, probably all of us. And then we all heard it in the sermon. Lord, abide here. We need you. We don't want to be lost. We appreciate you as our Savior. But now abide. You are inside. Abide here now. And the other doors, there's then a sign, entry forbidden, and so forth. And thus it doesn't work. God wants to have the whole of us. The Lord sacrificed himself completely. He wants to have all who belong to him completely. I read on. True Christianity has to display its token publicly, in public life, at the office, on the street, when trouble is around, anything, in church, everywhere else. Here we have it. Trials come, but they come that we can pass it, that we persevere in it, that we persevere so long until God leads us, and that we leave to him the decisions. It continues. Here it says, the blood is the token, and the token must be applied. If it's not, even the covenant is not in effect. And here I think on Matthew 26:26. This is the new covenant in my blood. The New Testament, with everything what is written in it, came into force for all who become believers during the time of the new covenant. The covenant came into force by the holy blood of the Lamb of God. Every promise that was given to us can now be executed and fulfilled. It continues. The lamb was killed in the evening time, and the blood was applied in the evening time. You get it? Only at evening time this act took place. We live now in the evening time of this age. This is the evening time for the church. This is the evening time for me. It is the evening time of my message. I am dying. I am going. I am moving out in the evening time of the gospel. Lord, abide with us, for it has become evening. We approach the midnight hour, and as we read here and understand things that were not required in the past ages, be it in the age of Reformation or the following revivals, they are required today from us. For to whom much was given, from him much will be required. And what was not even required at the turn of the century is required from us today. What was not required in the Pentecostal movement is today required from us. And we must respond to these divine requirements in obedience. We cannot walk our own ways and then be saved. We must walk today this way that God determined for the calling out and for the completion of the bride church. And this way is not determined by you and not by me. This way is determined by God. You just need to walk on it. It was even prepared through the messenger whom the Lord sent. Only obedience. We must see the seriousness of the hour. We must know now it's about everything. Now it is about that God confirms his word in our midst. I've said it here recently, perhaps last Sunday in Zurich. If we believe that Brother Branham was a man sent from God with a message of restoration of all things, as it's written and our Lord confirmed it, then we see very clearly that he had a 100% restored ministry or not. He had a 100% restored ministry. He had an authorized apostolic prophetic ministry. He not only had the message of restoration, he had the direct restoration that was behind this message. What shall we have in the end? Only words as a message about which we even argue, in which we go into many directions, but not into the divine? Far from it. The day must come where message and messenger and message believers and everything agree, where the thing fits together, where you no longer have to make it fit, but where one really can see, here it fits, here it's correct. And because it's correct, therefore God will confess to it. And for this reason we have these meetings, to bring us into harmony with God, to bring us into conformity with his word, not with some kind of interpretation. We recognized that a long time ago. The interpreters will most certainly not get far. We want that God can go ahead with us. I continue to read here the following. But in this glorious place, under this covenant, there is a difference between the blood and the life. The token for the believer today is the Holy Ghost. As then the blood was a chemistry, it is the Holy Spirit of God. At that time, the Spirit of God could not yet fall. The new covenant was not yet come. The blood was the token. They could go out freely. They were kept safe. Nothing happened to them. Now comes the Holy Spirit upon the blood-bought multitude. And this is the divine answer which we all need. Also this, we said here before, in the water baptism of the believers, the believer proves that he belongs to God, that he wants to serve and follow the Lord. He heard the word, he said yes, and by this he answers in obedience this call of God. In the Spirit baptism, God answers. Here God answers to the believer that he accepted him. I read on. We are living in the shadows, and the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token, that you yourself have received his token, the Holy Ghost. It's the only way and the only sign that God will ever pass, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer. Amen. Amen. We recently touched upon this briefly without having read these direct passages. The life is in the blood, and in the moment of shedding of blood, the divine life was set free, and the divine life came on the day of Pentecost upon the blood-bought multitude, so that God is no more above us and amongst us, but that he could take dwelling in us. And as God was in Christ, so Christ is in the church. So, God requires the token. We heard it. If somebody has a ticket, then this is the proof that he paid the fare. What do we need for our ascension fare? And this I mean now very seriously. We all want to be raptured. The rapture is our goal. If we don't reach this, who wants to imagine the disappointment? Who wants to imagine this disappointment? The disappointment will not be with the unbelievers. They don't wait for any rapture. Where will the disappointment be? It can only be there where a hope remained unfulfilled. Only he can be disappointed who somehow meant to have been promised, or who had the promise in his heart without having responded to the conditions in detail. God has tied conditions to everything, and we learned already to discern between the anointing of the Holy Spirit, between the seal of the Spirit, that we are a divine possession, and that nothing will change whatever may come or go. We are God's own possession. As we read in Romans 8, neither high nor low things, whether things present nor things to come, neither sword nor anything can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, what can separate us from the love of God? If this love of God is in us, then I have to separate myself, and I have no reason for that. No, God has given us his word. And not only that, he has given us more. He has given us everything what he promised us in his word. And here we have the sermon of Brother Branham, possessing all things, even possessing the gates of the enemy. What was it? It was the faith in the risen one, the quickening word, the quickening power in the believers caused the living God to act and walk in their midst. And the same must happen at the end of days, that we take it seriously, believing God with all our hearts, putting all fear aside, having reverence, trusting and believing God, letting ourselves be brought into conformity with him, so that, as written here, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ in the believer. That God was in Christ, this we all know, and that he could say, that he could rightfully say, he who sees me sees the Father, this we also all know. But then John 17, Father, you in me, and I in them, that we are one, this divine conformity, as in Christ, every word that referred to him was fulfilled on him, with him, and in him. So also every word that was given to the bride church must be fulfilled in her and through her for the glory of God. For the scripture cannot be broken. Bride and bridegroom belong together and make up a unity. The Lord completes in these days His work. God will pass over you, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ in the believer. How could God still want me something? If I bear the life of Jesus Christ, if I recognized that the Son of God took my place on the cross, that He bore my chastisement, that He suffered for me, that He died for me, that He really in my stead went for me into death, then I may live by grace. By grace, I was acquitted. And I believe all of us, we all have been acquitted. And therefore, we can believe that also the rest will still be fulfilled on us. I read on. That's the way it has to be with every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost. A token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that life that was in the Lamb, has returned back and is publicly sealed in the believer. Did we hear that properly? Did we experience it? Do we want to experience it? Is our heart touched? Do we have a longing for it and say, Lord, I heard your word. I want to experience what you said. I've said it to you here or in Zurich. In this time, we deal with many things, and it should not be said here for amusement, because the time is too serious. But when I there in the USA wanted to get into the Trans World Airline, and I reached my seat, then the stewardess asked me, "Are you born again?" And you can imagine, she was painted all over. I don't judge a person. Everybody wants to look beautiful and so forth. But really, everything was painted, whatever could be painted, really everything. And she asks me, while boarding the plane, "Are you born again?" I didn't know what happened to me. But I just looked at her, and you can imagine, I hindered some passengers there. And I only said, "Yes, by grace I'm born again. But what about you?" And then it got down to business. What about you? Today we have terms of the new birth, of the spirit baptism, of sanctification. Only terms. And the thing itself is not there. It's just pious sayings. It just became a slogan. And then the lady even said, "I don't know what it is, but one says half of America is born again." And I thought, now you at least told the truth, in so far that you don't know what it means. But half of America is certainly not born again. Let us come back here to this serious text. That's the way it has to be with every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost. How many really long for it, to be full of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God, also to be used by the Spirit of God, to be inspired, to be penetrated. How many want this? It's really getting high time. I tell you, it's getting high time. God will not give anything sooner until our longing gets to such a point that we cannot wait any longer. Then God will give. And from His fullness and by grace, He will give it. I read on here. Has returned back and is sealed in the believer. Everybody that is passing by you, talking to you, or has any associates with you, will see that the blood has been applied. The token of the life that was in the blood is upon you. You are safe from the wrath. Not the words are the proof. The life, the divine life in us, is the proof, the token that Christ took dwelling in our hearts. Then it goes on here. The church in this day that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is washed in the blood, and the Holy Ghost is upon her. I don't know how we read the sermons. It takes a lot of effort to translate them, of proofreading them, to print them. Lots of effort is connected with it. I hope that we all read them, and that we not only read what we like to hear, but reading to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, to hear God from the sermons. There are many who find in the Bible exactly the scriptures they look for. Exactly the scriptures they look for. Only not these scriptures which could help them. These they don't find. So, let us read on. Now is the token time that each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it are protected by the token. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit we are all baptized into this token and become part of it. God said, when I see this token displayed, I will pass over you. We could go here to Hebrews and read in chapter 3 or chapter 4, where it says, and Moses was faithful in all his house. Christ as the Son, faithful in the house of God. We can read 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. That you might know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and foundation of the truth. God has a house, a habitation of God in the Spirit, a dwelling place on earth, a body to work through the body. And these are we. But He wants to take dwelling. He wants to take dwelling to do in this house what He intended to do. Under this token, you are protected. All that's inside of it are protected. Beloved, the body of Christ, all members which belong to the body of Jesus Christ, were judged on Calvary when Jesus Christ took our judgment upon Him. He did it on our behalf. Therefore, he who believes will not be judged anymore, but he crossed from death into life. We are not appointed for judgment, but that we inherit salvation. There are enough scriptures, and we may believe them with all our hearts. But even more, we want to experience them. Now come the days of experiencing. Now come the days in which God wants to manifest Himself. We can, with such a great message, and I don't say that out of presumption. This I say out of gratefulness. There is no evangelist who would have to bring a message of God today. They all bypassed what God has done. They only picked out that part that was an advantage to them, and then walked on their own ways, without understanding which way God walks with His church. So, when there shall be a calling out, Then it can only come through the one message given by God, coming from the Word, revealed by the Spirit. Oh, how do you see it? Who shall make the calling out? Who called from heaven, "Ye my people, come out and be separate"? We may carry the message, but who makes you to believe? Who calls out? Who leads to repentance? It's the Spirit of God who works all in all. We are just observers of that, what God does. And I believe that a rapture will take place. I believe that there will be a bride without spot and without wrinkle. I believe that there must be a calling out, a preparation, a completion, and thus it will take place. And I believe that this time comes upon us, who we live now. And if Brother Branham says here, in the days of Luther was the emphasis on this, in the days of Wesley on that, and so forth. But on what is the emphasis today? Today everything is wrapped up, so that we experience God fully, as at the beginning. I read on. Now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token. The blood was shed at Calvary. That is true. But see, in the blood cell was the life. Praise God. Praise God. Yesterday I spoke with a French-speaking brethren about the term only begotten. Only begotten. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. There was nothing added from another side. God Himself created everything what belongs to the begetting and to the birth. Only begotten, 100% divine. There was nothing on which the devil could have a right. Absolutely not. I almost said one-sided. The only begotten Son of God, through this holy blood that pulsed in these veins, we were redeemed. That's how it is written in Acts 20, verse 26 to 28. Feed the church of God, over which the Holy Spirit has set you, to feed the flock of God that He purchased with His own blood. On the cross of Calvary, divine blood was shed to accomplish a divine work of redemption here on earth for us. And we may believe this with all our heart. If we can believe it, then we also may get happy, getting happy that the Lord of heaven has put off His divinity and became man, found in the fashion of a man, to bring us back into the divine stand of the sonship. Are we still thankful for it? The thankfulness must come up in us anew. Here it says, the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. What do I read here? Page 13. In the sermon, the token, right at the bottom. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. Back then, our Lord said, if you don't want to believe me, then believe the works. The Father who dwells in me, He does His works. The hour must come where we just can say, if you cannot believe us, then believe God who does His works here. Namely Christ in us, the hope of glory, but also the resurrection power. Now comes even more. O brother, the hour of that token to be displayed is at hand. We can see it. We know that we are near the end now. We've brought all kind of messages up to show signs and wonders. The hour of that token to be displayed is at hand. So many years later, what shall we say today? today we may say, very near. It is just around the corner. The hour of that token to be displayed is at hand. How should it be with all of us? With all what we are and have devoted to God, to be available for Him, so that He can continue His work and then finish it. It continues here. Here we come back for what the church has got to do. The token has got to be displayed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing else would work. It must be the blood. Now the Holy Ghost is our token from God. Maybe just briefly the remark. Recently, we said it here before. We may also, in this point and area, not look on our own failures or on the failures of others. Just look how it is. How many have glorified the blood of the Lamb without having always lived as the redeemed? They not always succeeded as they would have liked it to walk with God. How many who have received the Holy Ghost did not remain in it? They either became disobedient or some other things were. Shall we look on this? Then we'll never experience God. We must look on the Lord, not on one another, not on us, but on the Lord. And if God gives us more grace than that grace that we learn from our own mistakes and from the mistakes of others, to not make the same mistakes. And then probably also this was worthwhile and paid off, but never to look back and to waste time with it, but at the most to learn from it. Look, if Micah would have said, these 400, they mightily prophesied, what shall I do now as an individual? He did not stagger by it. He thought, wrong is wrong, but right remains right. And the two men who called him, they said, just join what the other said and say the same. And then came the wonderful words over his lips, only what my God will say to me, this I will speak. He didn't waste time with that, what is happening there. He presented what was spoken, planned, and revealed by God. Must we not do the same? Could Brother Branham spend time with all the hundreds of evangelists which surrounded him, who only made the thing more difficult, who just abstracted the people instead of directing them to that what God does? And what is today? Today there are many kingdoms within the kingdom of God. And everyone walks his own way. What shall we do? Can I stop just because others go without being called? This would be the greatest trick of the devil. Of course, sometimes I say, Lord, I can't anymore. And I say many times, Lord, I don't want anymore. And if it's then so far and I look into the calendar, then there's not one weekend free in all the year. And yet I always say, Lord, I can't anymore. And yet it goes on and on with God's help. And I'm convinced if one day they throw me into the sea as Jonas, then I still get out on the shore. That's how it is with them who are truly called. You cannot run away from a divine commission. I would have been glad if I had died back then. This would have been a blessing for me. I read quickly on. And when this happened, then the token came upon them. They were identified by the works and signs of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues through them, and prophesying, and magnifying God. They were identified with their sacrifice. The Holy Ghost is our identification. He identifies us as Christians. Amen. Not as a denomination. The Holy Ghost identifies us with Christ. Now I have a question. I'm very relaxed. Whether you believe it or not, I'm fully relaxed. I returned a bit weak from Africa, but I'm totally relaxed. I know the work of God is not in the hands of a man. The work of God is committed to Him. He started it, He will finish it, and this in great power and glory. And the weakest vessels are most suitable for Him, those He can use the best. But I still have a question. We are amongst ourselves. I put off the glasses now, for I want to see you very clearly, all in one view. Who has a fear to speak in tongues? Who has somehow a secret, or even sometimes I call it a scary feeling, when he hears that one could speak in tongues? Who of you does not feel too well? Please don't raise your hand. I fear that too many go up. I fear that too many go up. But even you don't raise them, one thing I tell you, you must pray so long until this fear is taken from you. This fear to receive something wrong from God must be taken away from every believer. I have enough scriptures for it. If you, who you are evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them who ask Him for it? And He says, if you, who you are evil, can give to your children good gifts. And He says, if the Son asks for a fish, the Father will not give Him a serpent. Or asking for bread, He will not give Him a scorpion. This fear must be taken from us. We must bring it under the cross. For in this fear that something wrong could come, then comes really something wrong. Whether you can comprehend it or not, what I feared, this came over me, as Job said. So many people fear that something evil comes upon them. And what shall I tell you? Most people, if they are not completely free, and the enemy has still a right on them, they really, something evil creeps in. But before we want to pray now for the Spirit baptism, we must believe in 100% redemption, forgiveness, and grace of God. And we must believe that the devil has lost his right on us. That every power of Satan is destroyed, and that the Lord has bruised the head of the serpent, and that He rose as the victor on the third day. And He says, I live and you shall also live. If we can believe in this way and really have no fear, and I tell you, this fear has until now come upon everyone who asks for the Spirit baptism. This is the overcoming. There is no man who has experienced the Spirit baptism whom the enemy does not take and says, be careful, this goes wrong. The enemy comes with 10 or more thoughts only to distract us from believing God and to experience God. When the enemy comes with such thoughts, we must defeat him with the word of God and say, Satan, get thee behind me. My Lord will not give me a serpent. He will give me bread and fish. But God will give nothing wrong. Firstly, I say it once again, we must bring this fear under the cross. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. If we all, very open before God, and confess to Christ to have been pardoned by Him and to have been redeemed, and that Satan has lost all power on us, there are even people who bring it over their lips. They say, Satan, You have no right anymore on me. Jesus Christ has redeemed me. Your time is over. I've become a possession of the Lord. One has to confess with the lips what one believes with your heart. And then there's light. Then there comes clarity. Then there's confidence. Then comes trust. And suddenly, we are all transferred into an atmosphere that is then free from all these tormenting doubts, free from this unbelief and from the mixing of the various thoughts. Suddenly, we can then arise above and over this battle that firstly has to take place. And this happens in prayer, in the consecration, in the devotion to our Lord. And in that moment, where we reach this point, from this, I call it now, battlefield, from this conflict which goes on in everyone, when you have been taken out of it, suddenly it happens. Then you are in heavenly places. There, the soul, one feels it, literally, how it suddenly, as if you fall and suddenly you are lifted up. There we can literally say, my soul lifts up the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It must come to the point that we from this conflict are taken out. And I tell you why. Just as it is with the message, with all the sermons, who had no conflict? The enemy came and said, is this actually right? Is this correct? Should this man be right and all the others wrong? This was never preached. Don't you know your own arguments which you had to deal with? It is exactly the same with an experience with God. There come other arguments, but they come. We must one day break through to the point of the certainty of faith. Who could still come today and say, Brother Frank, do you believe that everything is correct, what Brother Branham preached? I would tell the devil in the face that it is true, and also to all the people. Why? Out of me? No. From the absolute of the Word of God. In the Word of God is certainty. It's not yes and no. It's yes and amen. And if you understood this, that all the experiences with God are on the same basis, only at that point of time where we inwardly agreed with God and recognized this is of God, even when not yet everything was clear to us, but when we placed ourselves in faith on the side of God, in that moment it started. There came clarity after clarity and truth after truth. So, let us ask our God and Father deeply to take us out from this battlefield, out from this conflict that goes on in our minds, lifting us out of it, placing us on higher ground. And suddenly, we will feel that something goes on around us and in us. I believe that Jesus Christ is still the same today. I believe that He baptizes today with Spirit and fire. I believe that we are brought back to the beginning, and this belongs to it. And what God will still give right at the end with the latter rain and so forth, this we take then also along. As a matter of fact, we take everything along, whatever God will give us. Did we understand this now so far? We are redeemed. Divine blood was shed. The divine life was set free. The Spirit of God, the life of God, the nature of Jesus Christ is now in the believers, in the blood-bought multitude. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now His life is in us. Who was it in these days? Some very precious sister. Very good that my memory is so bad. But she said, when I was young, she always repeated the verse, To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And this at the age of 14. And then she said, Christ is my life. This she could understand. But to die is gain. What shall be a gain in dying? At the age of 14, where shall be a gain in dying? Today we know it. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We died with Christ. We are crucified with Him. We are buried with Him. We rose with Him unto a new life. We sit in heavenly places with Him. That's how it is written, and that's how we believe it from today on. And thus we expect it. If we believe, we also must expect. If faith has life in it, then a believer must count with it, that what God said also happens. A person who comes to God and wishes salvation must believe that he was saved when Christ died on Calvary. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He cannot come nigh to God. Today, we want to believe God, really, with all our heart. And may nobody be in our midst who fights this battle any longer and says, huh, I don't know whether all this is correct. Dear heart, let me give it to you along your way. Everything what is biblical and what our brothers and sisters experienced from the beginning, this is right also for us in these days. Right or not? The amen was weak. Very weak was it. God wants to have a strong amen because there are really people who have big trouble. Some say these times are over, this was the Pentecost revival. No link may miss in the chain. Justification, sanctification, spirit baptism, and then completion. One cannot just take out one thing and then make the jump. The jump doesn't go then in the height. This jump goes then into the deep. Let us believe as the scripture says. Will we lose anything if we agree with God? If we believe as the scripture says? If we expect the supernatural of the Spirit? Will it cause us any harm? No, we are helped. There will be no damage caused. And together we will serve God and get happy and give Him the glory. And then also the others will see it and rejoice with us. Who can thank God for it? This is the gospel. This is good news. This is the doctrine of the apostles. And thereto we are brought back again. May God give us His token, really the mark, His mark, His seal, the seal of the Holy Spirit, that the divine life has come back into the blood-bought multitude. Thanks be to our God for it. This is yes and amen. We believe in a finished work of redemption. All promises of God are yes and amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up. And let us give together the glory to the Lord. My Redeemer. With all my heart I thank you for your precious and holy word. I thank you for the anointed sermons of your servant and prophet, whom you have sent in our days to turn our hearts back to the fathers, to work a turnaround in the people of God, away from all own opinions, own ways, own imaginations, back to God, back to His Word. Lord, here we are tonight. Make an end to the battle. Give us the victory of Calvary. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Satan, you have lost your right. We are the blood-bought multitude. Hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor and worship be unto the living God. Hallelujah. All who believe say hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, bring us to the point that we can believe as the scripture says, that we see what was promised in the scripture, that everything happens according to your word, according to your promises. My God, have mercy on me. have mercy on us and help us that we come forth as victors to you, the living God. Be the praise and glory. Lord, thank you for the shed blood, for the redemption, for the forgiveness, for the salvation, for the grace, for eternal life. Faithful God, give us the answer and the confirmation that we are your blood-bought flock, that you restore and bring back. Take away all unbelief, all fear, every doubt. Transfer us into a holy faith atmosphere for the glory of your name. We are dealing with you, the risen one. Do great things by grace. Lord, in these days, may the beginning be made today.